This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
I'm going to ask, if you will, to stand to your feet, take your Bibles, and if you would, turn with me to our text this morning of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and I want to deal with this subject of living where the nets break. Living where the nets break. We'll read the first 11 verses, and then we'll get into our message this morning. Thank you again for being here. I saw several hands go up of some of our visitors that were here, and so again, thank you for gracing us with your presence today, and we pray that God will bless you and that you will be glad when you left here that you came by this way and worshiped with us. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Now, this morning's message is not going to be one of any great Bible doctrines. It's not going to be one of any great biblical theology. We're not going to go what I call deep sea diving this morning. We're going to do a little skiing, all right? A little skiing, a little shoe leather Christianity, if you will, of just dealing with something practical of where we are, a lot of us may be in our life. In our walk with Christ, in this walk of faith. And here in this passage of Luke chapter 5, we find here the first encounter that Peter has with the Lord Jesus. And I want to take from this and use this encounter as a picture, if you will, of the life of a believer, any believer. And certainly you and I could put ourselves there, any believer, a picture of the life of a believer when we talk about this walk of faith. And so I want you to go with me and follow me here as we read. Let's look to our text, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him, living where the nets break. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, and we thank you for this time in which we gather together as the body of Christ. And Lord, no doubt, as we look at the many members of this body and those that have come in as a guest of ours today, Lord, they come in different phases of life. Lord, they come with different circumstances going on. Lord, they come with, Lord, different expectations of what they intend to get out of this service. What they intend to get out of this Christian life that they have entered into when they place their faith and trust in Christ. And maybe some of them have come here this morning, Lord, and they're disenchanted. Lord, they're discouraged. They're discontented with their Christian life thus far. And Lord, they're desiring and they're looking for, Lord, something more meaningful. Lord, there's more to this Christian life than that which they have encountered or experienced thus far. Maybe there's others, Lord, that have come here today, Lord, and Lord, they have understood Lord, when we enter into this relationship with you, that, Lord, you desired, Lord, to take us, Lord, to the very depths of our faith in you, to experience you to the fullest. And, Lord, maybe they're doing that. Maybe, God, they have found that answer of how that is to be accomplished. But others, Lord, are seeking that. And, Lord, there may be others, God, that are in our midst that they're just content right where they're at. They're just content, Lord, with having missed hell, having gotten in by placing their faith and trust in you, Lord, that they're settled, they're satisfied, and they're not really looking that, God, there should be any more to this Christian life than that. But, Lord, wherever we find ourselves this morning, I pray, Heavenly Father, prepare the hearts of your people, Lord, I pray, to be provoked by your words. Move us to action, Lord. And God, let us leave here today changed because, Lord, we've encountered you. We've truly worshiped you in spirit and truth. And, Lord, we have come to find out, Lord, God, what is it that you desire of us that we might live a life that would bring honor and glory to you and understand life to its fullest in our walk in faith of you, Lord Jesus. All this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, many of you may have heard this before, and I'm not sure exactly who may have coined this when it began, but it doesn't really matter. But many of us have heard this phrase coined when dealing with or in making an analyzation, if you will, of a Christian life. And many say that many Christians live their spiritual lives a mile wide and an inch deep. Now, that's not a statement that is commending to any Christian, that would be your walk or your relationship with the Lord characterized in such a way that your Christianity and your depth of faith is a mile wide and an inch deep. But here's the reality. As we look around, many Christians are living that out that very way, that their Christian life is a mile wide, but yet just an inch deep. And you say, "Well, Brother Todd, what does that really mean? How is that characterizing the lives of many Christians?" And it simply is this: is that in our walk with faith, and as a believer, we have gone only far enough in our relationship with Christ to have gotten in. To have put our faith and trust in him, knowing that we have an eternal home, knowing that we've been saved and forgiven of our sins, but that's the extent of our walk and our faith with him, that we're just that far, that deep in our faith, but not willing to go any further or any deeper in that relationship with him. And then often we talk about being a mile wide. That describes the depth of our faith. It's only an inch deep. We're not willing to get any further than in the shallow waters of a walk of faith with Christ. But then it talks about this being a mile wide. What is that representative of? What is that characteristic of in the life of a believer? And really what it is that it's a substitute where we begin to substitute and begin to try to fill in for Christ in that intimate relationship that he desires. We begin to substitute other things for that. We begin to get busy. We begin to substitute religious activities and religious busyness, I call it, to substitute for a meaningful and a depthful relationship with Christ. So we got what I call shallow water living. We're shallow water living in our faith with Christ. And so we begin to substitute a deep, intimate, meaningful relationship with Christ with a lot of religious activity and busyness. And unfortunately, sometimes that is how many Christians are taught. They get saved, and man, they get plugged into the church, and our instructions to them, man, just get busy for the Lord. Just start serving God, man. Be here every time the door's open. Man, just get in Sunday school class. And listen, you need to do all those things. But those things cannot be substitutes for your relationship and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be a substitute for the faith of you taking and trusting Christ to let him lead you into a fruit-bearing life that's going to bring him honor and glory. And so here we see that's the characteristics, though, of reality and a truth to many Christians, They're living a life of faith that is a mile wide and only an inch deep. And so we see here that, guys, this morning, as I said before, as we prayed, many of you come in here, and listen, you've come here, and everyone's got different expectations of what you're going to draw from this service. Many of you come in here, and you realize, you understand, you're longing for something more. You're tired of the humdrum and the same old. You know that there's more to this Christian life than what you've experienced or what you've encountered up to this moment. And you're desiring, you're looking, you're coming with expectation. God, I want to encounter you this morning. God, I need to hear from you this morning. God, I need a word from you this morning that is going to help me. It's going to show me what I need to do, that I could, Lord, encounter you, that I could, Lord, have this intimate walk and relationship with you. Lord, I want to go all the way. I want to throw in the towel. I want to fully surrender. I want to know that abundant life that I hear about, that your scriptures explain and talk about. And I'm looking for it. I'm seeking it, Lord. But you know, there's others that have come in here this morning. And as I said earlier, and I prayed, some of you come in here, you know what? You're satisfied right where you're at. You're satisfied with the shallow Christian life. You're satisfied and you're content with just going to heaven, missing hell. You're content with coming here and doing the same old. In fact, you're coming here and you're expecting to get four songs and a sermon and a hand shook and go home and do whatever it is you're going to do the rest of your Sunday. You'll get enough this morning that you won't even need to feel like you have the desire to come back tonight. You won't need to come back Sunday. You won't be here for Sunday school. You can come in here and you know what? Hey, I'm content. Come Sunday morning, get my four songs, get my sermon, get my hand shook, have a little fellowship, and I'm good to go. That's the kind of Christian life I expect to continue to live. I'm enjoying that. And you're not looking for anything to happen in your life. You're really praying that nothing does happen this morning that'll mess up your world that you got going on. You got a good thing going on in your life, in your walk with Christ, though it may be shallow. But you know what? You're enjoying it. You're in somewhat control still. And the worst thing, your worst nightmare would be for you to come in here and God get up in your grill this morning and deal with you about where you're at in your walk with him. You're praying that won't happen. You're praying, some of you, you're praying so bad that it won't happen that you've got your eyes closed. You don't want to see if God's doing anything. You don't want to see if God's moving. You don't want to be shook up. You don't want God to mess up good thing that you got going on. And so you're coming here, and your only expectation is, give me my four songs, give me my sermon, shake my hand, give me a little pat, hallelujah, and we'll see y'all next week. I'm good. I'm gone. And that's all I need. You actually come in here with the only anticipation is that you get out of here and beat the Methodist down to the buffet. And then you saw me up here, and you said, oh, Brother Todd's preaching, and then your bubble was burst. Ain't no getting out early today. We're out in here for the long haul. And I'm sorry you're disappointed, all right? I'm sorry to knock you off the pedestal there, what you expected and anticipated. You come crashing, burning when you saw who was preaching this morning. But listen, but somebody come that way this morning. You've entered in here, and it's the same old. And some of you are content with that. Others, you're desiring something more. And I'm glad to hear, I'm here to tell you this morning, church, listen to me. There is, oh, so much more to this Christian life than just doing church. There's, oh, so much more to it than just being totally consumed with religious activities and events and all the other things that we can fill our life with to make us feel like, man, that we're doing something for God, that we're making headway in this Christian life with Christ. That, man, takes a great effort. Man, I'm working for the Lord by doing all these things. But listen, may I say, nothing that you and I do, nothing that we engage ourselves into as far as it comes to religious activities, showing up. Hey, you can show up to every service every time the door opens. Hey, you can be here every time for every class, for everything that's offered, every event, all of it. You can do it all for every fellowship. Hey, but listen, nothing is going to be anything meaning impactful to your life than your walk and your willingness, man, to go deep and get in with God. To let him take you, as Melanie was singing just a moment ago, I love it. Thank you. Again, you had no idea what I was preaching tonight, but in that song it says, hey, God, I want you to take me. Take me where I've never been before. And how am I going to do that? God, there's got to be a step of faith. Lord, I got in this thing by faith, and it's going to take faith to take me even further with God. And so, listen, he wants us to know him, experience him intimately and meaningfully. And listen, as we come here today to worship him, church. We came here to worship him. And listen, true worship, I want you to listen to me. True worship occurs when one expectantly seeks to encounter a righteous and holy God. Now, did you hear what I said? True worship, all right? True worship is not us coming here and singing a bunch of songs, all right? It's not just singing some songs, taking an offering, saying some prayers. That's not true worship. Now, those are all aspects of worship. But true worship, those things that we do for the purpose of encountering a holy and righteous God. To come into his presence, to usher ourselves to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for me, the one that gave his life for me, the one that has called me unto himself, given me a ministry, God given me a purpose to live, give me a purpose to die. Man, he is the one that is the all in all that is to be experienced. He desires that of us, and true worship occurs when you and I expectantly seek to encounter him. Let me ask you this morning, did you come seeking to encounter him this morning? Did you really? If we did, listen, here's what happens. When we seek to encounter a righteous, holy God, listen, there ought to be some anticipation that when I leave here, there's going to be something different about me. There's going to be change that's taking place. Because, listen, you cannot encounter Christ, truly encounter Christ, and there not be change in your life. How many of you have come to service after service after service in your lifetime? You've come to many, many a church services, more than you can even begin to count and begin to even consider and think of in your mind, and you walked out unchanged. How many? A lot. I'd say there's been a lot of, I've been to a lot of services. I've been to a lot of services, Brother Matt. And there's only a handful that I can go back to and I can put a finger on and I can point and I can say, God changed me in that service. God did something in my life in that service that I had not ever experienced before in any other service. Sometimes I came expecting it and looking for it. Other times, boy, he just showed up and it was totally unexpected. And God got up in my grill. God got up walking in my pea patch. Man, God messed up my perfect little world I had going on when I wasn't looking for him to do it. But he showed up and he dealt with me. And there's only a handful of services I can go back to, a handful of Sunday school classes I can go back to, a handful of revivals that I can go back to. Listen, only a handful of times I can go back to and say, I truly encountered Christ in that moment, in that setting, and he changed my life. The very first one I remember was then when I got saved. Now, I'm sure for you, that should be the very first time that you encountered a life-changing meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see in our text, Peter, now again, I'm wanting you to understand, we're using Peter here as a picture of the believer and his walk in this life of faith. And here we see Peter, he is there, he's been out on the waters. Look with me, and it says Jesus came to the shore there of the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, it says here, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So here we see, here's the scene. Jesus has come and he has a mob of people that has cornered him to the coast of the Sea of Galilee. He's pressed there to the coast. He can't go any further without getting into the waters. And they're desiring to hear the words of the Lord Jesus. And there we have many ships, because the Sea of Galilee, all around the coast of it, are nothing but fishing villages, fishing towns. And that was the occupation of those that were residents there around the Sea of Galilee. And so he comes there upon the shores of Galilee, and there would have been many boats that were lined upon those coasts along the shore. And then we see that Peter and his bunch, they had been out fishing all the night. And they had come in, and they had anchored their ships, brought them ashore, and they were there cleaning their nets, preparing them for the next trip out, maybe later that evening. And so they come, and they're standing off to the side. They're washing their nets. They're probably tired. They're probably weary. They're desiring to catch a little sleep before their next venture out to fish. And lo and behold, there just in the distance is Jesus and a throng of people that are desiring to hear him. And while Jesus is there, Peter and James and John and the bunch, I'm sure they overheard what was going on. They looked over to what the commotion was happening over here. And Jesus was there, and he was trying to preach to the multitudes. And they were there doing their thing, didn't want to be bothered. They're just trying to get their stuff washed up, packed up, put up, so they can go and get shut up and get some Z's, amen? And so they were just minding their own business. And then Jesus shows up, amen? Jesus shows up. How often has Jesus shown up, brother, when you were just minding your own business? I never forget January 28th, 1984, as a 13-year-old boy. We were in revival, began the first night of revival at our church. And our church was about the size of this. And I was sitting in the balcony there, about where Brother Gibson and Miss Gibson are sitting there. And I had several of my buddies, maybe about a dozen of my friends, I invited to come with me. And we're sitting up there in that first pew of the balcony. And I never forget that night, the revival, where it got on. God showed up in a great and mighty way. And I remember an invitation, the Holy Spirit of God getting a hold of me. And as I was there, I'd made two professions of faith by that time. I'm 13 years old. I'd made a profession of faith when I was 7. I made another profession of faith when I was 9 years old and believed that I was saved. I believed, I got baptized. Man, I'm inviting my buddies. I want to see them get saved. I'm up there actually praying for them during the invitation. The Lord saved my buddies over here that I've brought. Man, I want them to know you. And not in the midst of me praying for them, man, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me. I wasn't looking for that to happen. I wasn't expecting him to come up there and get all in my business. Man, I was trying to pray for some others to get saved. But the Holy Spirit of God came and dealt with me. And I had a doubt to come up in my mind. God, I'm not sure I'm saved. Lord, I feel you dealing with me, Lord. I need to know for sure. I don't want to be 99.9% sure that I'm saved and going to heaven. Lord, I don't want to count on some prayer that I can't even remember what I said, but I remember going down to the altar and I remember saying a prayer. I remember somebody opening the Bible up to me. But God, I don't know that I saw you as my Savior. I don't know that I saw myself as a sinner in need of a Savior. But Lord, that night the Holy Spirit of God arrested me, got a hold of me, and I couldn't resist. I come out of that balcony. Brother and Brother Norris, I came down the aisle and there were so many people. Brother Troy at the altar is there. I couldn't even get to the altar. I had to stop about 4 or 5 rows up in the middle of the aisle and fall on my face right there. And man, I got gloriously saved. Man, I came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, settled in my heart and in my spirit that I had given him all my all, because he gave all his all for me. And I said, Lord, I believe you. I'm trusting you and you alone, not some prayer, not some baptism. God, I'm trusting you by faith. I'm believing on you, God, and what you did for me. You gave your life that I might have life. Lord, you took my sins and you placed them upon yourself. It was my sins that held you to that old rugged cross. And brother, I'm telling you, he got my attention that night. And Lord, I got gloriously saved. And you know what? When you get saved, listen, man, you're just thankful you're missing hell. Amen. I mean, hey, you're new to all this. Man, you're just so thankful. And boy, you walk around like you're on cloud 9. Man, things have changed. You got a different perspective on life. Boy, now you see yourself as what you really were. Man, a sinner in need of a Savior, and praise God. Man, now I'm a saved sinner. Amen? And man, Christ did it all. And hey, and we all come the same way, don't we? We all enter the same way. And we come by faith, believing, and listen, in Ephesians 2:8-9 says that faith is not even of ourselves. But God had to give us that faith. For us to enter into the waters of faith, we had to be given that faith. We didn't even have it in us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he gave us that faith. And you know, for every believer, for everyone that comes to the saving knowledge of Christ, listen, we come the same way. We come, and we come by faith. And God has to give us that faith to trust him, to call out on him, and to see ourselves for who we are, and to see him for who he is. And here we see Jesus comes, and he approaches, and he sees two ships. And the first thing I want you to see here is that, man, there's allowing of God's accessibility. Allowing God accessibility to our life. That happened when you and I came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We allowed God to have accessibility to this old vessel, our life. And he gave us the faith to step out in the shallow waters of faith, to walk with him, to take him at his word. And so with that being said, listen, here Jesus comes to Peter, and he enters Peter's ship. And he says here that he prayed him that he would thrust out a little. And so here you find Jesus, man. He comes up. He gets into Peter's business. Man, he stops Peter for what he's doing. And he says, hey, man, I want to enter your ship. I want to get on your vessel. And he enters Peter's. Now, he could have entered anybody's. But, hey, he was dealing with Peter at this moment. He calls on Peter. And he says, Peter, I want to get on your vessel here. And I want you to thrust out just a little ways in the shallow waters that I might be able to preach the word of God, that I might be able to teach the people from out of the ship to those standing on the shore. And so we see here allowing God the accessibility in our life, the coming to the saving knowledge of Christ is the picture we have of Peter here. He encounters Christ, and he lets Christ enter his vessel, and then he launches out. He moves out a little ways into the shallow waters of faith. Now, let me ask you this. You remember when you was a child? I remember as a child, it took me a while before I ever learned to swim. I think I was nearly 10 years old before I ever could learn to swim. And I know that's kind of old for some of you. You're thinking, man, I've been swimming since I was a toddler, all right? I don't know why it took me so long, what fears I had to get over. But I remember as a child getting into those shallow waters and wanting to go to the deep. I wanted to go. Man, all the fun stuff was in the deep waters. I mean, the diving board was in the deep waters. Man, the ropes, place pool we used to go to, the ropes out there, they had like a ropes course you could swing on. They were out in the deep waters. Man, the high dive was in the deep waters. You know, man, the slides, they all dumped out into the deep waters. I mean, I wanted to go to the deep waters, but I always found myself in the shallow waters, not willing to venture out, not willing to step out and to learn what was necessary to navigate those waters, those deeper waters, to experience that of being able to swim. And so, man, for years, like I said, until I was nearly 10 years old, man, I occupied the shallow end of the pool. I occupied the shallow end of wherever we went, the water park or whatever it was. But you know what? It took me until I was 10 years old. I got so used to the shallow waters, I guess that's why it took me so long. I got content with just hanging out in the shallow waters. I longed to go to the deep, but I wasn't willing to do what was necessary to step out and to go into the deep and learn to swim. And you know what, in a lot of our Christian lives, you know what? The reason why we are not willing to go any further than we are with Christ is that we've gotten used to the shallow waters of our faith. We've gotten used to living in the shallow waters of faith. That faith that wasn't even ours to begin with, God had to give it to us to exercise that we might trust him and enter into this relationship of faith, but then we're not willing to step any further than that in our faith. We hang out in the shallow waters, and I believe here's some reasons why we like shallow water so much. Even for some of us who can swim or could swim, you go to the pool, you ain't going out in the deep. You're not going to get your hair wet. You're not going to go out there and jump off the diving board or the high dive or do anything else. But you're going to hang out in the shallow waters. And I believe the reason why a lot of us hang out in shallow waters of our faith is, number one, it's convenient. Shallow waters are convenient. You know, it requires no effort to step over into the shallow waters, does it? No effort whatsoever. It's convenient. It's convenient to get in it. You know, at the shallow end of the pool, that's where the steps are. Man, I ain't got to make any total commitment to get in the waters. I can just ease my way into the waters. It's convenient. Requires no special effort. Not only is it easy to get in them, but more than that, it's easy to get out of them. In the shallow end of the waters, it's easy to get out. You get uncomfortable. You desire to get out of the water. It's easy to get out of the shallow end of the pool. Not only is shallow waters convenient, I think we find ourselves enjoying them and being content with the shallow waters because they're comfortable. Shallow waters are often comfortable. Why? Well, the water's always a lot warmer in the shallow, isn't it? Our brother Troy's got a pool over there, and we were so gracious to let us go swimming over there and our family the other day for the 4th of July. But he's talking about how warm the water was. Man, especially in the shallow end of the pool, it's warm. Why? Shallow water. Water's able to warm those waters. And man, he said it's like bath water. That's how we often describe it. It's like bath water. Man, it's relaxing. I can kick in, kick back, and just sit here and sit and soak in the shallow waters. They're comfortable. They're warm. They're transparent. I can see what's beneath me. I can see what's under the water there. I see that there's safety where I'm sitting at in these waters. Not only is the shallow waters convenient and comfortable, but you know what? The shallow waters are concealing. They're concealing. What do you mean there, Brother Todd? Man, I don't have to prove anything that I can or cannot swim. You hang out in the shallow waters, listen, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. It's concealing. If I don't know how to swim, I ain't gonna let you know that. I'm just gonna tell you, hey, I'm just hanging out in the shallow waters with you. You know, hey, I don't wanna go out there. I'm comfortable right where I'm at. It's concealing. Isn't that just exactly how we often live our Christian lives? We want convenience. We want comfortability. And we want to conceal, really, to the depth and degree in which we're trusting God and following God, don't we? We don't want other people to really know where we are in our Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we might be ashamed, or we might be made to feel inferior, or whatever it may be. We really don't want people to know. So you know what? We hang out in shallow waters. It's concealing. It's concealing. That's why a lot of folks, listen, they'll come to a morning service. You know why? Because it's concealing. It's non-confrontational. But a lot of folks that'll come to a Sunday morning service in a large setting, you will not find them coming to a Sunday school class. You won't find them coming to a Bible study. You won't find them coming and asking someone to disciple them. Why? Because all of a sudden it becomes revealing. It really reveals where we are in this walk of faith. And we really don't want folks to know where we are. We certainly don't want folks to know, man, we're comfortable in our shallow walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's concealing. And the last thing is, I think we like shallow waters because it is crowded. Shallow end of the pool is always crowded. Safety in numbers. Safety in numbers. It's easy to get lost in the crowd, isn't it? Easy to get lost in the crowd. Safety in numbers. But there's allowing God accessibility. Here in our story, Peter, not only does he allow the Lord to jump upon his vessel, but he launches out into the shallow waters that he could preach the gospel to those standing on the seashore. But then we see verse 4, then something takes place after the fact that he's done this. Now Jesus comes back to Peter, and he says, Peter, I'm going to ask something of you again. Now when he had left speaking, he stopped speaking. He came unto Simon. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And so here we see this stage of Peter in the stage of the life of a believer is that we come to this point where we must submit to God's authority. We've allowed him accessibility in our life, but now in this walk with Christ, Christ desires that we submit to his authority. This is the lordship of Christ. We have the saving knowledge of Christ in allowing him accessibility to our life, calling on him to enter into our life as our Lord and Savior. But then we have this place where we must come to the lordship of Christ in our life. And we must submit to God's authority. Here we have Jesus. He looks to Peter and he says, Peter, and this time he doesn't pray. He doesn't plead with Peter to let him come upon his vessel, to let him launch out a little ways into the shallow. But then now we see Jesus, he basically gives a commandment to Peter. He says, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. And here we see God is asking for lordship and authority in Peter's life. Church, listen, you and I as born-again believers, it is God's desire more than just to save us from a devil's hell, but God not only wants to be our Savior, but he wants to be our Lord. He wants to have all authority in our and of our life. He desires you to submit yourself, bring yourself under submission to his authority, to acknowledge him for who he is, that he is a righteous and holy God, that he has an expectation of your life and what he desires to produce in it and out of it for his honor and for his glory. And may I say, for you and our good, our good. And so here he looks to Peter and he says, Peter, I want you to launch out. I'm not praying or pleading or asking your permission to do so, but now that I'm on your ship, now that I'm occupying your vessel, I'm going to give you a commandment. Peter, launch out. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Take me out there where I want to take you. Follow me, Peter. And we see that Peter has some reservation, if you will. But the first thing I want you to see, church, listen, if we're going to let Christ be Lord in our life, there's some things that's going to be required of you and I. Number one, we're going to have to be required to pull up anchor. This Christian life, listen, is not to be one that is stagnant. It's not to be one of idleness. But listen, church, this Christian life is the one that is to be progressive. It is to ever be growing, advancing. God didn't call you and I to sit, sour, and soak, as we often like to say from the pulpit. But he said, look, you're to continue willing to go wherever it is I want to take you, because I'm trying to take you somewhere you've never been before. God said, I didn't save you and then to leave you sitting here anchored right where you got in. But unfortunately, church, reality is a lot of Christians are living their life in just that way. They're anchored right where they got in to this walk of faith, this life of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, if we're going to experience what God desires to experience, if we're going to bring ourselves under his authority, then you and I, listen, we've got to pull up anchor. We've got to be willing and ready to go wherever it is that God leads us and guides us and directs us. We've got to be required to move into those deeper waters. Though these shallow waters we find to be convenient, we find them to be comfortable, we find them to be concealing, but that's not where God wants us to stay. That's not where he's going to leave us. He says, hey, I want you to follow me. Let me lead you. Let me take you where you've never taken me, you've never gone before. And may I say this, church, listen, he'll take us where we will never go on our own. He wants to take us where we'll never go if left up to us. We'd stay right here in the shallow waters of our faith, just content to miss hell and enjoy the best this life has to offer as a Christian. But that's not what God desires. It's not what he desires for you. It's not what he desires for me. He said, listen, man, this is a life of advancement. I want you to know me. I want you to know me personally. I want you to know me intimately. I want you to know me every possible way that you can know me. I want you to have an intimate, meaningful, deep relationship. Not one that's just shallow. Not one that's not very deep. And he says, listen, you got to be required to move into deeper waters. We got to be ready to pull up anchor at a moment's notice at his request. Hey, we gotta follow God's commandment. When he says, drop the nets, drop the nets, drop the nets. And point out here, he says nets, plural. He said, I want you to drop the nets. What is he saying? I want you to throw in all, everything you got, all the tackle that's on this vessel. Throw it all in. Don't hold anything back. I want you to throw in with me. Hey, we're going to go out here and I'm going to take you fishing. I'm going to take you out here to experience something you ain't never experienced before. I'm going to show you something you ain't never seen before. But it's going to require you to be all in. It's going to require you to throw in the nets. Put your all into it. Give it all to Jesus. He requests to drop the nets. What is this? This is the bounty of obedience. Amen? The bounty of obedience. Look at what happened. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now you hear what's kicking in here? Here's the reservation that Peter has in following the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to make excuses why that's not a good idea to go where the Lord wants him to go. He says, Lord, he begins to try to reason it out. Lord, this doesn't make sense. Lord, this is asking too much. Lord, we've been out there all night long. We've been fishing. Man, we didn't catch anything. Lord, we're tired. Lord, this just doesn't make sense. Lord, this is messing up our thing. God, you're interrupting what we got going on. God, you're asking too much. He said, Master, we've toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. Lord, we don't see how this is going to work. What good is going to come of this? And guys, that's exactly how we often do in our own Christian lives. When God's trying to do something in our life, he's trying to take us somewhere we've never been before. He's trying to let us experience something we've never experienced before. And all we can do is come up with excuse after excuse after excuse of why we can't trust God and take him at his word and let him have his way and take us and experience what he wants us to experience. That we can know him and experience him to the fullness. We give excuses. Peter began to give excuses. But at least he came to the point where he realized, Lord, my excuses, they don't hold any water. They hold no water with you. God, I'm out of excuses. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, God, I'll do what you asked me to do. Lord, I got reservations about it. God, I don't see how this is going to work. Lord, I hope this turns out good because you know people are watching. Lord, it's going to be embarrassing, God, if we do all this. We come back. I mean, we just got finished washing our nets, Lord. Man, we got them all put up, ready to call it the day. Here we go again. Carry us out to do something, Lord, and I just hope it all works out for the best, Lord. I hope you're not embarrassed, and we certainly hope we aren't embarrassed about what you're trying to do in us and through us. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we say often? And here we see Peter, nevertheless, Lord, I'll do at thy word, I'll follow you. I'll let you take me where you want me, where you want to take me. And what have you missed out? Listen, church, let me ask you. And here we see he dropped the net. Look at verse 5 there at the end of it. Now, Jesus asked him, I want you to drop the nets. I want you to throw it all in. Don't hold nothing back on me. And look at what Peter did. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will let down the net. Singular. Peter still wasn't fully obedient and compliant to what the Lord asked him to do, was he? And he dropped down a net. And look at what happened. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And so we see here, listen, even when we only drop one net, you imagine look at what God did. He says that their nets break. They took more and more fish when they dropped that net than they had ever taken before. And these are fishermen. These are experienced fishermen. Man, but they were experiencing something that they'd never experienced before. But could you imagine what would have happened? Could you imagine what would have happened if they'd have dropped all the nets of what they would have caught? Could you imagine if they would have just trusted God, took him at his word, said, yes, Lord, we'll throw it all in at your command, and not hold nothing back, not hold anything back. Could you imagine what God had stored? And listen to me, and he had prepared for them to throw in all the nets. What they caught was only what they could get at the degree of obedience they showed to the Lord Jesus. They caught, and it was more than they could actually handle. It was overflowing, running over the net. Because why? Because there was a whole lot more where that came from that they could have harvested that day had they obeyed God fully. My question to us, church, listen to me, believers. How much of God's blessing, how much of God's bounty have you missed out on because you just wasn't willing to trust him all the way? You just wasn't willing to, man, just take him at his word. With all the faith that you could muster, say, God, I'm taking you at your word. God, I'm going to let you have, Lord, helm of this ship. God, take it. God, and let you do what you want to do. What God has in store for you and I, listen, we can't even begin to fathom, but we'll never experience it if all we do is remain in the shallow waters, never willing to take God by faith, take him by the hand, as we sang, by faith, and let him launch us out into the deep to receive what it is he has in store for us to receive, to experience what he has in store for us to experience. You ever wonder why your life, your Christian life, ain't no more exciting than it is? Because you're not willing to trust God and let him take you into the deep, to let you experience all that he has in store for you to experience. Church, listen to me. We got to bring ourselves to a submission to the Lord, submitting ourselves under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting him have lordship of our life. Let him not just be our Savior, but let him be Lord of our life. But not only that, we see here, but in reservation of in obeying, he says, Lord, I'll let you have your perfect will and your perfect way. And then becoming the last thing I want you to see, verse 6 to 11, and we'll prepare to close here in just a moment. But then we see becoming God-altered. Not only are we to give him access to our vessel, not only are we to submit to his authority, but what we see here in Peter's encounter with Christ is we see a picture of the believer becoming God-altered when we take God by the hand and we let God lead us by faith into the deep waters of a life of faith. And here we see in verse number 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. Also they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all and all that were with him. Guys, we get astonished when, man, we let God, we have an encounter with God. We let him take us where he wants to take us. We let him experience, let us experience what he wants us to experience. When we trust God and let him have his perfect will and way in our life, listen, we become altered by that encounter. We become altered by God allowing him to use us and to work in us and through us, that we experience something we've never experienced before in our walk with him. Becoming God-altered. Man, they experienced the miraculous. Those there, Peter and those who were with him, they experienced the miraculous. It says that they were amazed. They were astonished at what they saw. They'd never seen this before. They'd never experienced this before. And when you and I learn to let God have leadership of our life, we learn to follow him, walk in his footsteps, let him guide us and lead us to the paths and the plan that he has for our life. When we do that, you and I, we will experience the miraculous. We will experience the unthinkable, the unimaginable, the incomprehensible. And that's exactly what happened to Peter here and these others. Man, they experienced the miraculous in Christ. Man, not only that, but then they began to exclaim the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, they were enamored with his mighty working power. Only God could do this. And may I say, guys, listen, when something unexplainable happens in your life, you know what? It's then that God, you know God is in on it. If you can explain it, more than likely, it ain't of God. But man, I'm going to tell you what, when you begin to encounter Christ on a regular basis, when you begin, man, to launch out in the deep and let him take you by the hand of faith to lead you where you never would go on your own, where you've never been before. Hey, when you do that, man, you begin to experience and you get enamored with his mighty working power. Can't believe that God would do this. And not only would he do it, but that he would do it in me and through me. Boy, you begin to experience his mighty working power in your life. But it takes us getting out of the shallow waters of faith and getting into those deep waters of faith. They begin to exclaim Christ's greatness. And then last here, they said they exchanged their direction. They forsook all and followed Jesus. You look with me there in the last verse. In verse 11, it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Man, they realized, hey, man, things are a lot better if I just trust Christ. Things are a lot better if I just let him have authority in my life. Hey, guys, things are happening in our life that we can't explain. Man, we're enamored. Man, we are astonished at what God is doing, and that only happens when we step out into the deep waters of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. They exchanged their direction. These men, they were fishermen. But God said, hey, I'm going to change your life. If you pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, I'll make you fishermen of men. I'll give you a life worth living. I'll give you a life full of excitement you've never imagined before. Oh, man, if you'll just let me take you where I want to take you, you'll never be the same. I don't know about you, church, but listen to me. Every believer in here, that's the kind of Christian life I want to live. I want to encounter Christ in such a way that I experience the unexplainable. That I can't do nothing but just exclaim his greatness, his loving mercy, grace, and goodness. The fact that he'd love a wretched sinner like me. The fact that he would use me. The fact that he'd want to work in and through me to impact the lives of others in this world. The fact that he would want to use me and do wondrous, great, and mighty works in and through me. That alone is astonishing. It's astonishing. I can't comprehend why a righteous and holy God would love somebody like me, and why that he'd want to take my old wretched life and take it and use it for his honor and for his glory is beyond me. But I know this. I know that he can take any life, the whosoever wills, and he can turn you around, and he can let you begin to live a life, man, that you can't explain. He'll let you begin to live a life that you can't exclaim, but do nothing but exclaim his mighty power. He'll give you a life that's different. They'll change you like nothing else in this world can. He is a life-changing God, amen. He's a life-changing God, a life-altering God. You and I, listen, we become God-altered when we encounter him, and then we submit to him, and then we follow him completely and fully with our life. Church, as you stand to your feet this morning, I simply pray this morning that God will take what's been preached today. He'll take his word, and I pray that he'll provoke you and I to move to action. God, I want to know you. God, I want to experience you. God, I want to know what it is truly to live a life of faith, of deep, meaningful faith, of impactful faith. God, I want to launch out in the deep. God, I don't want to find myself content, complacent, comfortable, living in the shallow waters of this Christian life. Lord, we all got to come. We all get into the shallow waters of faith. It starts with that faith he had to give us to trust him, to call on him as our Savior. But may I say, that's not where he wants to leave us, church. That's not where he wants to leave us. We all got to go through the shallow waters of faith to get to the deeper waters. But that comes by you and I simply trusting and obeying. We sang it just a moment ago, trust and obey, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's learn to trust and obey him. Let's let him take us into the deeper waters of faith. Let's don't let that statement be what describes our Christian life. I don't want to be a mile wide and an inch deep, Brother Jimmy. But I want to go deep. I want to know him. I want to anchor in the deep waters of faith. I want to experience what I can't experience any other place than throwing in fully with the Lord Jesus Christ, going all the way with him. I pray that you will as well. Ephesians 3:20, I'm going to leave you with this. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think, according, here's the key word, according to the power that worketh in us. What is he saying? God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you and I ask or think. He'll accomplish in our life things that we can't even begin to fathom in our little finite minds. But we'll only experience them to the degree in which we're willing to trust him for it. According to the power that works in us, according to the level of faith, the degree of faith we're willing to trust him and go with him, that's the degree in which we'll experience him. To the degree, let me ask you, to what degree are you willing? To what degree are you willing to trust him all the way? To what degree are you willing to go into the deep waters with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you let him take you there? Church, let's launch out into the deep waters of faith with Jesus this morning. As they sing, you come. These altars are open.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.